He has done great things. God has been better than good. Lord, even now. Father, even now. I forgot to mention that we're going to St. Mark's celebrating Pastor Farrell. I think it's 40 years of pastoring. Amen. This coming Tuesday night at 7, and all are invited. Amen. We are on the 27th sermon of the series, and I'm winding down. I'm winding it down. But we will stop when God says stop. Amen. We are reading Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 16. It's reading out of the Amplified, and this is what it says. Not that I have already attained it, this goal of being like Christ. I have already been made perfect, but I actively press on so I may take hold of that perfection for which Christ Jesus took hold of me and made me his own. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own yet. I haven't become that yet. I'm pressing, but there's more to attain. I see a me ahead of me that yet he is calling me to. But one thing I do, I'm forgetting what lies behind, and I am reaching forward with everything in me. I am reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press with all my strength. I press with everything in me. I press towards the goal to win, to take hold of that heavenly prize of the upward call in God, of God in Christ Jesus. That's it. My thought today is filling our brokenness with the glory of Christ. Father, even now, Lord, do what only you can do. Let it be that when we leave this place that we see Jesus. That we see Jesus. For your glory, for your name's sake. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. One of the greatest statues, sculptures, was sculpted by the sculptor Michelangelo. He did it in the 14th century. People still stand amazed of that sculpture of David. Somehow he took this giant white marble block and with hammer and chisel, he chiseled out that which did not belong. He also, on one of the Catholic ceilings of this great chapel, he painted the picture of Jesus, of God making Jesus. You've seen it, where he's touching him. And Adam becoming a man. He did it with a broken brush. He considered himself not a painter, as great as he was, but one that sculptures out of marble. It is so amazing that even in the hand, and the hand is one of the difficult things to paint or sculpture, you can see the veins running up David's hand. Someone asked him, and they said to him, how is it that you could take this marble block and end up with this masterpiece? How is it that you did this? And it is quoted that he said, I just removed the things that did not belong on David. You may not know it. You may not understand what God is doing in our life, the process, the trouble, the hurt, even the disappointments. What God is doing with you and me, he's making us into his masterpiece. So he allows us to go through things because he's chipping away the things that don't look like him. Now, I've come to the place that I recognize that I have set many of the parameters of what God had to do in order to get me to a place where I look more like Christ. Realize that even the things that we count as bad, God allowed it. Say that with me. God allowed it. And the reason why he allowed it was that we needed to go through some things in order to stop depending on ourselves, to stop depending on other people, to quit chasing the wrong things, to break us, that we begin to realize that it's him. It's him. It's him. Look at Paul, who used to be called Saul, who was so arrogant, who was so self-willed that he determined in himself that he was going to snap out Christianity. But when God got a hold of him, he even changed his name. Now you see him at the height of his understanding, at the height of understanding that God is in control, that God is the anchor of everything, that his life he owes to God. And he says this, I'm no longer chasing anything else. What I'm chasing, I see me in Christ, the me that I haven't arrived yet, but I see me and it's in Christ, and I'm chasing that with everything in me. My question to us this morning, what are you chasing? Who are you turning to? What occupies most of your thinking? What is your greatest desire? What is it that you are pressing towards? Or are you pressing at all? What I realize is this, Paul in his vision, Paul in his understanding, he saw the him in Christ that God was working on. Let me go back to Michelangelo. When Michelangelo saw this block of marble, he already saw David in it. Nobody else could see David in it. But Michelangelo has vision of what the end results was going to be. When God picked you out, when God picked you out of the dirt of the miry clay, when Jesus called your name, when he led you to accept him, he already knew what he had in mind for you to become. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you think Michelangelo is something, you ought to see God and how he is sculpting us, how he is molding us, how he is shaping us. God wants you to be his masterpiece that he can show off to the world, that the world will say, there must be a God somewhere. Hallelujah. No. I'm sure if that clay could talk, it would say, stop. It said, what you doing to me? You hurting me. The problem is not with the artist that is forming us. The problem is that we resist God and his attempt to change us. If you're not changing, you fighting God. If you're still the same as you always been, there's a monkey or a demon on that line somewhere. There's no way that we as his children can stay the same from year to year, day to day, month to month. God is working on you because he wants us to be his representative, his masterpiece, his work of art in the earth. Hallelujah. Our love factor ought to be more. The way we treat people ought to be better. The way we act ought to have more love in it. There ought to be some things that we used to do that we don't do no more. And I'm not talking about 50 years ago. I'm talking about last year. There ought to be a pressing. Say that with me. A pressing. You know, there's a lot of visions that we set for ourselves, but do you have a godly, redemptive vision of yourself? Do you see a better you ahead of you as you chase Jesus? You know, I discovered whatever we are looking at, outside and inwardly, we become. Counsel a lot of people. Counsel some guys who said, I hate my father. Can't stand my father. And their focus is on, I'm waiting on him to make right what he did. Is anybody here waiting on somebody to apologize? Waiting on somebody to fix you? Don't do that. Listen, the person that hit you can't fix you. The person who did whatever cannot make right what they did. But you need to look up. You need to look up to the Lord who kept you through that, who brought you through that. It didn't kill you, so since you're alive, let God put it in his hand. Forgive the person. I know they don't deserve it, but guess what? You don't deserve being forgiven, and he forgave us anyway. Whenever you're holding on to anger and bitterness, it is like drinking poison, waiting for the other person to die. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And it gets in the way of us seeing what God can do with you. Turn to your neighbor. Say, you have no clue what God wants to do in you, with you, and through you. Hallelujah. 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 Our God is up to something. Our God is a mighty God. And if we just trust him and give him everything, I'll say that with me, everything. If you give him everything and wait and see what God's about ready to do, he's faithful, he's good, he loves you. The fact he created you for himself. He got his name on you. Hallelujah. You are his masterpiece. He's working it out. You may not know it, but God's up to something. The more he shows me a little bit about himself, the more I see the areas that don't look like him. The more he turned the dimmer switch and the light shines brighter, the more you realize he's greater than you thought he was. He's bigger than you ever imagined. His glory is more glorious than what you can ever catch hold of. He's holy in every way. He is worthy to be praised. And his love for you is past finding out. Church, he's called us higher. He's called us to chase him. Show me the picture. We are dual nature. We got the old nature that wants to hold on. But we got a new nature that is calling us up. See, the old nature, notice, it's holding you back. It's keeping you in bondage. It's keeping you in negative attitudes. It's keeping you from being who God has called you to be. But the other part, look, it looks like it's shining. It looks like it got a light in it. But the truth of the matter is, it captures the light that's shining from the outside. It reflects it back out, showing the glory of Jesus. Is there anybody in here showing the glory of Jesus? Is there anybody that trusts God and says, I want to be what God has called me to be? You have to put down the old stuff and step up to the new stuff. You know what? One of the evidence that you are saved is that you get convicted when you do something wrong. What do you mean by born again? Sinning does not make you a sinner. But the dead core of us is what makes us a sinner. He called us a sinner after Adam died because we all fell into brokenness. Now watch this. This is dead. And anything that comes from this is dead. So watch the people who say, Lord, I preach for you. Lord, I witness for you. Lord, I went to church every Sunday. My mama took me to church. My papa took me to church. But if you've never been born again, you still dead. He said, what he says is this. He said, I never knew you. He says, you never let me in. You did church stuff for yourself. You never did it for my glory. You never did it for my name. You didn't have my mind. You didn't have me on your mind while you was doing what you did. Did you know you could be a preacher and not know Jesus? You're using your own talents and skills and speaking skills, but you're doing it for you and not doing it for him. Everything we do, you got to have Jesus on your mind. It ought to be for his glory, for his name's sake. Listen, if I come up here and preach the best sermon I ever preached, and I did it for me, and y'all walked away saying, what a great sermon, God says, disqualified. My purpose have to be that y'all see him. Y'all purpose have to be is all about him. Look at that statue. It is looking up. It's stressing to pull down, which don't look like Jesus, while he's looking at Jesus. My question is, are you chasing Jesus? We have to have a redemptive vision that God gives us in our spirit of who and what we supposed to be. You can't say, this is me, so deal with it. You don't even know who you are. Until God shows you his love, till God shows you how awesome he is, till God shows you how much he loves you, you are stuck in a rut because you are stuck in what you think you are. But the devil is a liar. And this morning, we're coming to break that bondage. We're coming to break those chains. We're coming to say, in the name of Jesus, be set free to be who God has called you to be. You know what? We work in partnership with God. You know what the hardest thing to do? to say yes to him when I don't want to. Oh, shut your mouth. We think we got options. We think that we can do it without him. We think that it's supposed to be simple. Who told you it was simple? Listen, we are either butter or clay. You know what's the difference between butter and clay? Clay hardens in the sun. Butter melts. We ought to be some melting Christians. Melting in the hand of God, saying, yes, Lord, whatever you say, Lord, I trust you, Lord, based on what you have already done. That's why he says to the children of Israel in Isaiah 43, he said, I brought you through the fire and you didn't smell burnt. I brought you through the river and it didn't overflow you. He said, I did it before you knew me, so that you have a reason to chase me. I blessed you while you was playing. I made a way for you when you didn't thought there was no way. He said, I'm not asking you to have blind faith, but I have already done enough in your personal life that you ought to know. You ought to know. Listen, we ought to know. You didn't make it this far on your own. God was there all the time. He made a way out of no way. You would have died if it had not been for him. He stepped in right on time. Some of y'all was sick. It wasn't the doctor that healed you. God said, let there be healing. Some of you almost lost your mind. You didn't keep yourself together. God said, mind be right. Some of you, if it had not been for God shutting doors and not letting you go through, you'd be messed up like everybody else. But God, is there anybody that has had a but God experience? A but God experience? A but God experience? That's enough for us to serve him, to love him, to chase him. Paul said, I have seen enough and experienced enough that I'm letting go of the past, and I have tasted how good he is, and that's my motivation to push through. Let me just step in this a little bit. Do you really think Satan wants you to become what God is calling you to be? Do you really think the demon's going to leave you alone? Do you really think that you can do this without having faith in him? Do you really think that you're going to become your opinion is greater than the word? You really think that is going to benefit you if we come here and we're playing church? Let me describe playing church. Playing church is we act like we know him in here, but out there, we doing whatever, saying whatever. Is our lives to the place where others want to see, wants the Christ that in us to be in them? That's a statue in a museum. The paintings, the picture of it costs money. How did you hear that? The picture is not the real thing. It's a picture of the real thing. But you can buy the picture, the photograph of it, because it is so awesome. Is there anybody taking snapshots of you? Because whether you know it or not, somebody's watching you. And I wonder what type of picture are we leaving them with? What type of imagery are we showing them? I wonder our children, who we tell them to do right, have they seen us do wrong so long that they're not listening to us say do right? What impression are we leaving to the folks on our job, the folks around? Listen, are we a hindrance or are we a help? My brother and sister, somebody asked me this morning, and it was a right on time question. They said, can we live in holiness? Where do holiness begin? And I said, number one, you got to define for me what you mean holiness. What you mean by holiness? Because all of us got a different interpretation of holiness. But if I was to explain to you what holiness is, God is the only thing. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is really the only thing holy. Hallelujah. Listen, and when he said, be like me, I am holy. What he said, let the me in you come out of you, because I put it in you, and I'm calling it out of you. Listen, he started with the crystal first. Then he wrapped the black iron around it. Then he started pulling it down. Know what God is saying? I'm pulling down your old nature. I'm pulling down your selfishness. I'm pulling down. You know what? You know what? My biggest problem is me. You know what your biggest problem is? The idol of you. You know, everything comes from, we got this thing, we think we're it. Everything is about us. But when God becomes number one, he'll teach you how to love right. He'll teach you how to act right. Listen, we all are in process. You know what that is? The hammer and the chisel. You can't see it, but I'm up here preaching, but I'm hurting. You know why I'm hurting? Because the word is a hammer and a chisel. So while I'm speaking to you, you know what God is doing? Chiseling on me. Why? Because I'm not finished yet. I'm not there. Listen, we all in the same place. We all is under the word of God. We all ought to be pressing forward. We all ought to be the light of Jesus. We all God is working on. Listen, nobody is exempt. Let me say that again. Nobody is exempt. God is working on us. He takes his hammer, he takes his chisel, and what he's doing is knocking off the stuff that don't belong there. Well, when the last time you said ouch? When the last time you said, God, Lord, thank you for showing me that. That doesn't look like you. Take it out of me. When the last time the word of God got a hold of you and you found yourself crying over the goodness of God? When the last time you felt convicted over something you said, over something you said? When the last time you became so sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you said, I got to change. This is a process God is taking us through. And watch this, I got to say this for church folks who've been in church 150 years. It don't end till you die. You don't get a certificate of escape because you've been in church 150 years. You don't get a pass because you've been here for 200 years. Even if you was in Dunbar, don't mean nothing. You still on a journey. We're on a faith journey. We're in trust. We're in trust training. What you mean trust training? He's teaching us how to trust him by the burdens of life, by the disappointments in life, through the sickness of life, that God will put you in the fire and say, trust me. He's purifying our hearts. He said gold is purified by the fire. Gold is gold is gold. Now watch this. Now down in that verse, 1 Peter chapter 1, he's talking about our faith. So what he says is, your faith is gold. Your faith in me is gold. He said, I'm not impressed with your work if it's not by faith. I'm not impressed with all the stuff you check in the box if it's not by faith. If you're not looking up and you'll have your eyes on him, then nothing that we do mean anything. I think we did an injustice from 1 Corinthians 13 because we made it and put it in marriages. That's okay, but that's not what it's talking about. You know what he's talking about? He said, unless we offer back up to him, and it lays it out at the end, 1 Corinthians 13, 13, he said, you got to have faith. You got to believe him. You got to trust his heart towards you. Then he said, hope. You got to have an expectation. I love what David said. Here he is in trouble. Here he is. He feels like giving up. He said, but I'm holding on because I believe God for more. I know he got me here, and I know it's good for me, but I don't like where I'm at. So, Lord, even though I'm here and I'm crying, I got my other hand on the other side. I would have fainted. I would have gave up. I would have turned my back on God. But something is holding me. I got a promise that he gave me. And I believe to see. I know I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. It hasn't gotten to me yet. It hasn't happened yet. But as I'm chasing him, I hear footsteps behind me. Hold on. I think that when you're chasing God, spiritually, you hear the blessings of the footsteps chasing you. Now, your footsteps may be like this, but its footsteps is like this. But hold on. If you're not walking in the will of God, if you're doing anything you want to do, however you want to, you ought to hear footsteps too. And those footsteps is not your blessing. They're your curse. You know what? You ought to make up your mind. We ought to make up our mind that we're going to wait and see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Don't know when it's going to come, but I'm going to stay right here. I ain't going nowhere. Ephesians chapter 6 said that in that day when trouble is hitting you hard and you can't move forward, you need to plant your feet in the promises of God, in the goodness of God. There's some things you got to know. Turn to your neighbor. You got to know. You got to know. You got to know that God loves you. You got to know that God is for you. You got to know that God got a plan for you. You got to know that God will fight your battles. You got to know that God will make a way out of no way. You got to know that God will leave you, not forsake you. You got to know that God is with you. He will never leave you alone. You got to know that God got you in his hands. Do you know? Do you know? Ask your neighbor, do you know that God is good? He's good all the time. Do you know that God will make you a winner? Hallelujah. I don't know about you. Even when it don't feel like it, I go to the Bible and God says I'm more than a conqueror. So when the devil tells me I'm losing, I start laughing. Say, I don't listen to you. God says, I'm more than a conqueror right now. In the name of Jesus, I'm a conqueror. Stuff is falling off. Listen, with all that extra weight, I'm sure the statue didn't feel like a conqueror. Everybody said, he's a blockhead. He's a block of marble. But when Michelangelo got through with this statue, people talked about, listen, Michelangelo's masterpiece. Did you catch that? Not the statue himself. They marveled at Michelangelo. They marveled at his skills. They marveled at his vision. They could not understand how he could take that and make it this. Oh, you ought to be coming what God has called us to be, to the place where people who knew you can't believe who you are now. Kenny Graham knew me when we was growing up. He said, when I walked the street, people crossed the street. He said, he tell people, he said, you know, Tracy preaching. He said, who? Not Tracy Venice. It's almost to the place that they marvel because they knew me then. And if they ask what happened, I tell them, I met somebody. His name is Jesus. And he's able. Oh, he's able. I think we need a good dose of Ephesians chapter 3. I think we need to tap into that prayer that Paul prayed. And he's praying this for the whole church. And he says to them, I need you to be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. You know what he's saying? He said, you're looking for love in all the wrong places. He said, you're looking for significance in all the wrong places. You're looking for power in all the wrong places. He said, whatever you're looking for, unless it's found in the love of Christ, you're looking in all the wrong places. Justin mentioned to me, he says, perfect love casteth out all fear. The more you let him love you, the more you realize that nobody can love you like Jesus, the more you dig in and get rooted in him, the more you recognize his love is good and it satisfies, the more you let him rock you and love on you and guide you, the more you let go of the stuff of the world, the more you allow him to be God and you receive that love, something happens on the inside. All of a sudden, you quit searching for whatever it is on the other side and you recognize it's him. Oh, it's him. There's no going back when you realize he loves you, because nobody can love you like Jesus. Stuff start falling off. Corinthians said, keep looking. Keep your eyes straight on the word of God. And as you're looking, the revelation of Jesus becomes an illumination in you. What are you talking about? From Genesis to Revelation, it's Jesus. From beginning to end, it's Jesus. And if you look for him and you seek him with all of your heart, you'll start to see him. Had an aunt who been through some rough things, died in the tragedy. It's the tragedy of the Venice family. Her and two children fell off a cliff where I'm going on a trip of bad. But I remember she told my mom, she said, see, they were talking about Jesus. He said, he's in here. He's in here. You find him in the word. You see him through the word. In her trouble, she dug in seeking Jesus in the word as she saw him. There was such a transformation that happened in her life that her children started getting saved. Families started getting saved. And God must have said, it's time to come home. But guess what? We know where they went to. We know what happened. My brother and sister, before your family is transformed, you got to be transformed. Before your situation is transformed, we got to be transformed. And even if your situation don't change, did you know that God will put a fence around you where your situation don't bother you because you are covered by the love of God? Is there anybody in here covered by the love of God? He's your fortress. He's your strong tower. He'll lift you up above your situation. Oh, you know what's going on, but guess what? It's okay. God got me. He got his hands on me. I'm gonna trust him until I die. There's something about Jesus that makes everything okay. Now hold on, hold on. He said, this love is so high, you can't get around it. It's so deep, you can't get underneath it. It's so wide, you can't get around it. He said, that you may know it, experience, be filled with it, that you may become what God has called you to be. Then Paul stands back in this declaration. He said, now, right now, in the midst of right now, unto him, not unto me, not unto you, but unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and can imagine according to the power in us. Power. I'm asking God to release our power. Now I realize until he can trust us with loving him with our hearts, he can't release the power. David, he says to David, David chased the heart of God. He messed up many times, but the core of him was chasing God. And God said, David, after he messed, he said, if you would have asked me, if what I've already given you wasn't enough, if you would have asked me, I would have done that too. So why did you go off and seek it on your own when I'm standing right here? My greatest fear is that when God calls me, I haven't done what he told me to do. I haven't become what he wants me to be. I have allowed the flesh to overrule the spirit. And I'm standing before. And I see the nails. I see the hole. I see the scar. And he's in his full glory. He's in his full glory. We should live every day as if this could be the day. It shouldn't be trying to get ready. And in the brightness of his glory, what will be exposed are undone parts. What we didn't allow him to fix. I'm so glad he gives us chance to get it right. He loves us like that. He's for us like that. He's such an awesome, loving God. I pray he gives us a vision of himself. Then as we see him, the reflection of the glory will fall back on us. And as he shows us ourselves, we say, Lord, forgive me. Help me to become what you just showed me. Because I have my eyes on you. Lord, fill my weakness with yourself. Fill my brokenness with yourself as I yield to you all that I am. Those that are watching, he loves you and he's calling you higher. This is a high caller, but he gives us the Holy Spirit to be our help, our come along, our strength, our enablement. You really don't know what love is until you allow our Creator to love us. He made us for himself. And nobody can do you like Jesus. You can, in your room, wherever you are, you can say, Lord, come into my life. Lord, I need you. Forgive me of my sins. And he will come in. And he'll begin to walk with you and talk with you and show you how much he loves you. In the house, let's stand. Let's stand. I don't know where you at. I don't know who you are. But I think this message was perfectly crafted by the Holy Spirit for you. Someone, God is tugging at your heart. He's tugging at your soul. How I know? Because he has done that to me. Me.